end of that day. We will not be having Sunday night service this coming Sunday. We want to give you opportunity to spend some time with your family, and I may have to, we've been having some rearranging going on at our house, and so for Mother's Day, I thought that I would grill out, and we started putting plans in place, and then all of a sudden it dawned on me, no, we won't be grilling out, because I put the grilling tools all away in a tub, and who knows where in the world those things are. So if I have to go out and buy some new grilling tools, I may do that, because we've got some food that needs to be grilled. I just feel it in my bones that it needs to be grilled. So that's kind of what we've got coming up. We like to give everybody holiday weekends off so that they can enjoy that time with their families. So if you are available Sunday morning, we have Sunday school at 9:30. We have Sunday morning service at 10:30. And then we have Wednesday night Bible study for the adults at 7. Our youth ministry meets at 7. And we would love to see you at 165 North Grove Street. Love to the opportunity to meet you. And so I will say this, if you have been blessed by the Refresh Radio program and would like to make a donation, you're more than welcome to. This is a expense-based ministry. It does not have the income that comes in that covers the cost of going out. But, you know, we want to bring this program to you, and hopefully the words that we share are enlightening, they are truth, and that they impact your life in a positive and liberating way. But if you would decide that, hey, you know what, we'd like to bless the Refresh Radio program, you can do that by sending a check, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953, and just make a memo on the bottom line of the check as Refresh. And we know right where that goes, and that would be greatly appreciated. With that being said, let's get to the Word. Was looking for an interesting way to transition there, and awkwardness seems to be the interesting way to transition. So we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 31, first day with my new mouth here. Proverbs 31. And let's begin reading in verse number 4. We're going to go all the way down to verse number 9. It says, "It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the speechless. In the cause of all who are appointed to die, open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy." Now, there's a footnote here that says in verse number 8, "In the cause of all who are appointed today," it says literally that means the sons of passing away. So let me start off today by reminding you that when we are functioning in our God-ordained position, that we are representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are spiritual royalty. And as such, we need to view alcohol or any of those other mind-altering substances that are on every street corner right now, it seems, we need to view those as a threat to justice. Not necessarily that it's going to be a threat on a national scale, but it would be a threat to us to participate in those. It has a capability of causing us to do things that are not just and right in God's sight. That's the number one thing. I had a conversation with a minister friend of mine while we were at district council. This goes back over a month ago, or right at a month ago, when we were doing our district business, and we were discussing a financial report. And I asked him, you know, do you even know what these numbers mean? And he said, well, I'm a financial advisor as well as a pastor. So yeah, that's kind of my wheelhouse. I do understand those numbers, and I have minimal understanding. I'm not an accountant, nor have I played one on TV. But I said, now my thing is, I recognize that donations that I bring, God's tithe and my offering that I bring to God, my understanding of that is that it is given irrevocably over to God. In other words, I no longer have control over that. I had a person one time that said, if you don't do what I want you to do with the tithe and offering, then I'm not going to give. Well, he didn't give much anyway. And, you know, it did cause us to become aware of a situation that was having a negative impact on our balance sheet. It was causing us to use more electricity. So we got that resolved, but that person didn't have the understanding that it wasn't like an investment banker or anything like that. They weren't still controlling that. And so I told this person, I said, you know, when I look at a balance sheet or a report that the district gives us, and they have an accounting process and audits and all of that sort of stuff, I said, I look at it, but in all honesty, I consider my donations as having been given irrevocably over to God, the same way that I have tried to teach the congregation of Merit Assembly of God, that we're giving our gifts, our love gifts to God, irrevocably over to Him. And we have an annual business meeting. We have board meetings. We review the finances. We don't have any slush funds. We don't have any miscellaneous accounts or anything like that. Every penny is accounted for. And I said, and to be honest with you, my mindset as a pastor, when it comes to giving an account to the body, is I'm much more concerned about having to give account to God for how I stewarded His resources as a pastor than I am about having to give an account to any human being on the face of the earth. It is much more important to me to be able to say, God, I want to hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. So we need to represent our position that has been entrusted to us, that we're not going to allow any threat to compromise, because we have to give account to God, not only for the finances that we blessed the kingdom of God with or brought into the kingdom of God, but we have to give an account for how well we did our job. That's why the New Testament says that to be a teacher, to be a pastor, there is a greater responsibility, a greater accounting that has to be done. We're held accountable by God. You're not going to be able to blow your way through anything. He knows everything. So you've got to remember to view the responsibility that you have been entrusted with, that one day you're going to be held accountable. How well did you represent me? I tell my congregation, I said, there's a scripture that says we have to give an account for every idle word. I said, if there's any scripture that, you know, ought to cause us concern and you know, keep us repentant before God, it's the thought that we have to give an account for every idle word. That's a very high standard. And, You know, we all talk. The Bible says where there's a lot of words, sin is not very far away. I listened to my radio program one day. It was a rebroadcast, and I meant to say the gods and the children of Egypt, and I said the gods and the children of Israel instead. And I was driving down the road, and it's like, oh, I know what was in my mind, but my mouth made a mistake. And so in case you were wondering what that was all about, it was supposed to be Egypt, not Israel. So we have to give an account for the things that we say, not the mistakes, the blips on the mind screen that might cause us to say the wrong word, but when we intentionally speak things that are not moved by faith, they don't represent God well. So let's look at verse number 8, Proverbs 31:8, and it says this: open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die or the sons who are passing away. We are supposed to use our mouth not as an entry point for things that are going to compromise our ability to do our job. We are supposed to use our mouth as a tool to a tool of justice to speak up for those without a voice. Okay? We are supposed to use our mouth as a tool for justice and speak up for those without a voice. It doesn't mean that they have laryngitis. It means that we live in a world that does not treat everyone's voice as equal. If a person has a certain position, their voice has greater recognition, it has greater effect or impact than a person without a position. If they have name recognition and another person does not have name recognition, the world treats that. Now, I'm not saying that God does that, but I'm saying that the world does that. If you're a celebrity, your voice is just automatically, there are a lot of celebrities whose brain cells do not function in the same manner that my brain cells function, and everybody pays attention to what they say, and a lot of what they say doesn't follow the laws of common sense, doesn't follow the facts. And I will tell you this, just because you're famous doesn't make you smart. There might be people who recognize your voice, but it doesn't mean that the things that you are saying have impact. We need to use our voice as an instrument of justice to speak up for those that society isn't paying attention to. This is specifically a mother's counsel to a king, and a king does have a voice. You don't want to make the king angry. We don't understand ancient monarchies the way that ancient monarchies actually function. We come at things from a democratic mindset or a democratic republic mindset. And we think, well, if we don't like something, we ought to be able to say something. In the ancient world, if a king said you were going to die, you were going to die. They were the supreme voice in the land. That's why whenever you see Nathan go up to David and confront David about his sin, King David, the sin that he committed with Bathsheba and having Uriah murdered and things like that, God didn't ignore all of that sort of stuff. And Nathan went and confronted the king. If you remember, David's predecessor was Saul. Whenever a priest didn't operate the way that the king wanted, Saul had the king killed. Or no, Saul had the priest killed. There was another one of those tongue stumbles. The King Saul had the priest killed. David comes along and David says, I'm not going to use my voice to try to silence the messenger that God is using to bring me back to a loving relationship with God. David would cry out in Psalm 51, God, restore, create in me a clean heart. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. God, whatever you do, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Because he had seen what it was like when the Spirit of God moved from King Saul to begin to operate in David's life. He saw the torment, the pain, the misery, and he said, I don't want to do that. And so many times David used his resources to bless people, and the greatest blessing, the greatest financial blessing he ever bestowed was to make sure that there was a temple so that people would have a place to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Use your voice to speak up for people who may not have a voice to speak up for themselves. The next thing it says is, in verse number 9, it says, open your mouth, judge righteously. Now, let me tell you this. You have got to know when God tells you to speak and speak what God tells you to say. There was a message that I preached one time. It wasn't at Merit Assembly of God. It was another church. And God laid this message on my heart. And it was like, God, I don't want to preach that message. And so God and I began to have this days-long discussion. This is the message I want you to preach. I don't want to preach that message. This is the message I want you to preach. I don't want to preach that message. All the way up until it came time for me to preach the message, and I didn't want to preach the message, but I did preach the message. I preached it the way that God wanted me to, and I got the blowback that I expected to get, which is why I didn't want to preach the message. But it was still a thus says the Lord message. You've got to be willing to speak when God says to speak. You also have to know when not to speak, when God doesn't want you to speak. For me, that's the hard part. It's not so much speaking up, it is knowing when to keep my mouth shut instead. You say, well, why would God do that? Because God's ability to speak to the human heart is not restricted to the vocal cords of Bob Arthur's. And there are many times that the Holy Spirit is operating even though I'm not saying anything. I had a situation one time where I had an initial conversation with a person, didn't say any more about it, and quite some time went by, and the next thing I know, the situation is resolved because the person said the Holy Spirit has told me to do this. And you know what? I don't have the same convincing ability that the Holy Spirit does. So sometimes I need to know when to just stand as a silent witness and allow God to speak. But here, kings are supposed to open their mouth and speak up in righteousness. Whatever you do, speak what is in right standing before God. That needs to be the filter. Our filter is not our emotions. Our filter is not speaking our opinion. Our filter is not even speaking from our position. Our filter is we are standing before God in right standing, having been flawed, sinful human beings forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. How do we speak to this situation in righteousness? in a manner that is going to result in the same sort of response from those people as we had. So we need to ask God, God, I don't want to represent you badly. I don't want to lose my right standing with you in such a way that I need to repent. I want to use my mouth in a manner that is going to speak up in righteousness. And so a righteous decree from the throne, if you will, knows what is in the heart of God, what is in the word of God. If you go back, it says, the kings and princes don't drink lest they forget the law. Solomon forgot some of the things that were written. Did you know that kings were actually supposed to handwrite personally themselves a copy of the Word of God so that they would be personally familiar with every letter of the law? There's been a lot of times I made mistakes and I was like, God, what happened? I opened up my scriptures and like, oh, I didn't know that. I was unaware of that and found out I was in violation of the Word of God. And it's crazy to expect good results when you're violating the Word of God. One more thing here in verse number 9, it says, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. You and I, especially when we've been given a platform, we've been given a position, we've been given a voice, we need to use that to speak up for a just cause. Not just those who can afford an advocate. Sometimes we need to speak up for people who are not able to afford an advocate. Okay? I wouldn't want to stand before a king and presume to know how to speak to that person or that individual or that situation. I've learned that lesson. I've learned that when I enter into a different environment, I need someone there with me to advise me, to counsel me, to speak for me on the protocols of that environment. Now, I will tell you, just because you're poor doesn't mean that you're right. There are some people who are in poverty, not because anybody else oppressed them. They just made bad decisions. If you want to know how I know that, it's because I was one of the guys that made some bad decisions. And so just because do you realize how little financial resource it would take to live a life if you didn't owe anybody anything? So I look back and I'm a guy that if I'm not careful, my predisposition is to see my faults before I see my successes. And I can still remember failures going all the way back to grade school of when I didn't live up to what I could have done. There are a lot of financial ramifications. Some of that was because I just responded to the call of God and the finances weren't there. And so I ended up digging a hole. So those I don't feel bad about, but unwise purchases that I made, stuff like that, bought things that I didn't need to buy, tried to invest in a manner that it would change my financial situation in a quick manner, and then I read the Word of God and saw I shouldn't do that. So just because a person is poor and needy, now the Bible says we can help them anytime that we want. We also need to help them to, once they get out of that situation, not to go right back to that situation. I know a lot of people who are poor and needy that once a need is resolved, they think, okay, I don't need to press into God anymore. I can go and do whatever I want. They never discovered the blessing of being a faithful steward. And so they just go from one crisis to another crisis to another crisis to another crisis. And so sometimes we need to speak exhortation and edification to them so they don't end up in the mess. And if you don't have anybody else who will speak up for you, let me tell you that you do have one who will represent you, because you're poor, you're needy, and you don't have a voice of authority, and that's Jesus. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. The Bible calls him our advocate. The Holy Spirit is called the paraclete, one who's called alongside to help. An advocate is an attorney. He represents you well. He speaks for you. You know, if you ever watched a courtroom scene and the attorney is speaking and the client thinks, I need to speak up here, you know, that attorney has a client that's a fool. That's a legal adage of some deviation there. But I want you to know, Jesus is there. He's not compromised. He speaks in righteousness, and he will represent you well, and he will use your voice as a voice of empowerment, a voice of deliverance, and a voice of blessing. So that's Proverbs 31, 1 through 9. I hope it's been a blessing to you as we've spent a few broadcasts going through that as we are seeking justice in our community. So once again, I was encouraged to say, you know what, there may be some people who listen to the radio program that are looking for an opportunity to bless the Refresh radio program. And if that happens to be you, we would encourage you to send a check to 165 North Grove Street, make it out to Merit Assembly of God, and we'll continue to bring you the word of truth on a daily basis.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Sorrows of the way, Lord Jesus, teach my soul to pray, and let me taste thy special grace, and run to Christ my hiding place. You know the vileness of my heart, so prone to act the rebel's part, and when you veil your lovely face, where can I find a hiding place? Hiding place. Ooh, hiding. Draw me to thy mercy seat. I've not the trust but sovereign grace that only art my hiding place. take